Blog Talk Radio.
Assembly Call postgame show. This is Andy Bottoms of Midwest Sports Fans. I'll be hosting the show tonight as Jared had a prior engagement. So you've got me and Zach, who I think is on the line here shortly, to talk about IU's fourth victory on the season in as many games as they win. Not an overwhelming performance by any means, but a win's a win. 66-53, I believe, the final. So, we'll talk a little bit about the game, kind of what we saw early on and why things might have gotten off to a slow start, and then really what turned the game around in the second half, which was had almost everything to do with Jordan Holes and Victor Oladipo really stepping up big. Holes, when the team couldn't buy a three, hit a couple right in a row to really break the game open, and there were some opportunities earlier in the game when it seemed like they'd be able to do that, but couldn't string together enough baskets, but overall, I guess good to win by double digits when you're not playing your best basketball, but that was a little ugly. So we'll start out. I'm going to bring Zach on here. Again, at the controls here is not usually where I am, so let's hope that I'm doing this correctly. So Zach, I think I've got you on the line, and if it's not you, it's Ryan. So I got a 50-50 chance of being right.
Yes, it is Zach. How's it going, Andy?
Not too bad. That one was a little closer than I would have liked, but I guess, like I said, a win's a win. What? Maybe give me a. We don't have a cool thing for you like the Bottoms Line or Jared's Banner moment or something, so you can make up your own title for it and maybe give me something that stood out to you from the game tonight.
Well, I may need a little bit of time to think of a catchy line or something like that. But the main thing I noticed, if I had to boil it down to one thing, is really the tempo of the game. In the first half, both teams struggled to control the tempo. Couldn't really get anything going, as you said, offensively. And then finally in the second half, the Hoosiers were able to make some shots, really get into transition like, we all know they can do so well, and finally started to control the tempo, which is obviously probably their strongest suit on offense. And, once that started going their way, the score obviously started to reflect what we all thought it would be.
Yeah, it was, when I look back at the first half, and I will admittedly say that I missed the first couple minutes of the game trying to get home from work in time, but, kind of walked in after a couple minutes, they were down early, and it seemed like, one of the things we talked a lot about last time was how important it was that they got off to a fast start and really took, in that game, Sam Houston State, who obviously, for whatever everybody wants to say about Georgia and who they lost to coming into this game, Sam Houston State was pretty terrible, and so, they really jumped on them early. Didn't seem to be the case tonight. A little bit sluggish out of the gate. And then I think one of those things where outside shots weren't falling, I think those are things that sometimes this team, at least over the last couple of years, has really relied on to you know, get themselves going and get the energy amped up a little bit. And, you know, Holtz hits the three at the beginning of the game on the first possession. And then I think it was a good, you know, 30 minutes of game clock, if not a little more, until the team hit another one. So anything stand out to you from the beginning in terms of why you felt like maybe they got off to a slow start? Obviously, foul trouble started to play a pretty big role as the first half wore on. But anything out of the gate that you saw from an energy standpoint or otherwise kind of lead to a little bit of the slowness there?
Yeah, I don't doubt their energy, their enthusiasm or anything going into the game. You know, I don't think they were looking past Georgia, as I know some people were suggesting on Twitter. But obviously, you know, the conversation always this year is going to have to start and stop with Cody Zeller. And if Georgia is anything, you know, it's a big team. I believe they have five guys over 6'8". You know, definitely big guys, height, you know, real big guys, nonetheless. And, you know, they were kind of pushing Cody around at times. I'm not sure how he's doing with his illness that I know he was battling last week. Saw him coughing on the sideline a little bit. So, you know, if he wasn't feeling 100%, you know, maybe that's why the big men of Georgia were able to push him around a little bit. You know, you could definitely tell that Tom Crean was trying to get IU's offense to run inside out in the first half, and it just wasn't really working because, you know, Georgia was obviously committed to stopping, you know, any post game and everything inside the paint from Indiana. They did that pretty well, especially in the first half. And, you know, sometimes shots just aren't going to fall. So, fearing the fact that Cody Zeller was getting shut down, not much was happening inside, you know, and some shots not falling, you know, the offense just didn't look as crisp as, you know, we always expect it to in the first half.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was interesting to me when you look at Zeller. He really looked uncomfortable for whatever reason. I know somebody on Twitter mentioned that for one of the first times in his career that they can remember. He just seemed uncomfortable. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, playing a team that they had a number of big bodies to throw at him or really kind of, you know, push him around and use up some of the fouls. I definitely thought that was interesting. I wonder about the illness as well. He doesn't seem to me to be a guy who, you know, in the same way that the other guys might be a little overconfident or not intense or whatever. He just doesn't really strike me that way. So I thought it was definitely interesting to, you know, kind of see him fight through that, maybe saving his best for tomorrow night, I guess. I guess we'll see. Something interesting I did see on Twitter, Jordan Cohen, and this is more the second half now, 29 of IU's 37 second half points came from Holes and Oladipo, who each had 11, and Watford, who had 7. So, you know, those guys really carried the load really throughout that second half and in the big comeback. The other thing that stood out to me from the first half and really the beginning of the second half was IU's continued ability to get to the free throw line. They shot incredibly poorly from pretty much everywhere in the first half, but did get to the line 14 times and made 12 in the first half, and then drew 4 fouls within a minute and a half, 2 minutes in the second half, and really set themselves up well there. And I think that speaks to what you were saying, where, you know, really trying to, you know, go inside first, attack the basket, and really was something that worked well for them. It's something that they've excelled with throughout the season. Their free throw rate, you know, coming in has been really high, and something that they did a good job of last year as well. But definitely thought that was a pretty big difference there. As far as on the defensive side, one of the moves they made toward the end of the second half, and again, leading into the second half, was switching to 2-3 zone. You know, what did you think of that move, Zach? It obviously proved to be fairly effective, but did that surprise you based on how the game was going at that point?
It didn't surprise me too much. You know, in the first half, you know, as Bob Knight said on the call plenty of times, Georgia was taking a lot of ill-advised three-pointers. So I think, you know, Tom Crean's mindset was, well, you know, let's pop into the zone and make him, you know, keep on shooting three-pointers, because they hadn't been, you know, extremely successful to that point, you know, with the exception of, you know, a couple minutes here and there throughout the game. You know, so they continued to do that. They played great defense. The zone worked. You know, then Georgia, you know, in the end, was able to knock down a couple more three-pointers. You know, it didn't matter so much anymore. But, yeah, a little surprised. I mean, you hadn't seen a ton of that. You know, you saw the aggressiveness coming out of the locker room in the second half on offense, with, you know, Remy, Oladipo, and everybody, you know, kind of just slashing, trying to get to the line and whatnot, get to the hoop. You know, so I kind of thought we would see that on defense as well. You know, full court press with Yogi, with Vic, with Remy. When you have all those guys, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, usually a full court press can wear guys out on defense, but we have so many guys that are capable of leading a full court press on defense. You know, you can kind of spread the responsibility around and kind of, you know, save some stamina for the end of the game. But, you know, they went with the zone approach, you know, pretty much the opposite, and it worked pretty well. I mean, I think it definitely shows that, you know, one of the biggest question marks going into the year was IU's defense. Can they, you know, everybody knew they'd improve. The question was, can they improve enough? I know Georgia, you know, isn't really an electric team, you know, not the most capable team on offense. But nonetheless, they do have some talented players, and I think we can contain them pretty well.
Yeah, I think the other thing, we'll talk about one more thing in the first half, and then we'll move to bigger and better things in the second half. But, you know, Zeller got into foul trouble, as did it appears to be virtually everyone else did. But, you know, obviously I don't know that we need to talk too much about why he got in foul trouble. You know, he seemed to be trying to put the ball on the floor more, taking advantage of, you know, some of the bigger guys that, that Georgia used to try to defend him. But this was really the first taste for IU to see how they would react from a depth standpoint, and you know, without, you know, with him on the bench and without Elston and Perea and Jerkin. I guess what did you see from them in that first stretch that was kind of the, I guess, the worry of some IU fans heading into the season after those decisions had been made?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of sitting on my couch criticizing Hollowell a little bit coming in and, you know, playing, you know, the four and the five like he's had to do so much. Overall, you know, I think he's been okay. I think he's gotten a little rattled at times. His jump shot hasn't looked too good overall. You know, and he definitely looked sloppy at times tonight against Georgia. But nonetheless, you know, he's bringing in rebounds. You know, he's helping, you know, when Zeller goes on the bench. And I think for someone who didn't think he'd have to do so much of that going into the season, I don't think any of us thought, you know, he'd be, you know, Hollowell would be playing in the post so much. I think he has definitely added a lot to the depth. And, you know, he won't have to play down low so much anymore when Perea, when Elston, when Jerkin are all back. But nonetheless, it's nice to see that he can do that and, you know, that Tom Crean is obviously going to try to develop him through not only, you know, his capabilities outside, both on offense and defense, but also, you know, in the post, rebounding his offense down in the post. And I think it's definitely good to see somebody so naturally talented on offense like Hollowell that he can help us out down low when we really need him.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job, particularly on the offensive glass. Ended up with 6 rebounds in total and 3 on the offensive end. I thought, other than that, he kind of forced things a little bit for the first time, which I think probably is natural. Was coming into a tighter game situation than he had in the past, and you know, some of those, you know, freshman areas, he really seemed to you know, I think he got himself in a little trouble a couple of times defensively and picked up a number of fouls. But all in all, you know, that's one of the things I think we talked about toward the beginning of this that was going to be a real positive for him, which was, you know, he's going to get thrown into the action right away and see how he does. And I don't know that tonight was one of his better games, but certainly something he could take and learn from. And there were still, you know, flashes of things that he did well. And if nothing else, gave him some minutes and kind of helped them ease their way into the second half. And really, when you look at how, you know, I jotted down the stats at halftime, nearly made me want to throw my computer across the room, but they were pretty awful. And to go in down one, while down one to a team that everybody thought they would handle pretty easily and eventually did, you know, I guess if you want to take anything positive from it, they kind of stemmed the tide on a night that they weren't playing very well and kind of held out until they got hot in the second half. So let's kind of fast forward to the second half, which was clearly the more positive of the two for any number of reasons. And for me, it all, you know, it started with Oladipo. Holes came on later, but Oladipo was really aggressive. IU came out with a little bit smaller lineup, sat Watford to begin the half, and Oladipo really tried to, every time down the floor the first couple of times, really tried to take advantage of mismatches. They had Georgia, a pretty big team, as we mentioned earlier, didn't really serve him well there because they were trying to guard Oladipo with guys who just couldn't stay in front of him. And so he drew a couple of those early fouls, made some nice defensive plays, had a big putback, you know, a dunk on an offensive rebound, And coming out of one of the timeouts, I had tweeted something out somewhat prophetically that they really needed to get back to attacking the basket. And he goes right down the baseline and gets a dunk. Right after that, came in from the other side and got a nice reverse and, really sparked the team defensively as well as offensively there. So we'll start with him and we'll get to Holes here in a second. But you see anything in particular with Oladipo in the second half that you thought really made the difference for him compared to the first, other than obviously not getting into foul trouble?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can keep it pretty simple here. Although Oladipo, it's definitely, a ton of the weight offensively is not going to be on Oladipo, certainly not as much as was last season for him. But simply put, I think that's what Oladipo can do. He can always get to the rim. He's still not the best finisher. He still doesn't have the outside game that he needs to, if he's going to want to be a high-end NBA prospect. But nonetheless, for IU, not being probably even the first or second offensive option in most games, hoping that Zeller shows up more times than not, which I assume that he will. It's nice to see that he can do that. He can get to the line. He can finish. It's nice to see, people being able to hook up with him when he's cutting down to the rim, and can throw him the alley-oop, can get him the ball down there. He can go up for the reverse layups like we saw him do a few times tonight. So to keep it simple, that's what he can do. He can get to the rim playing against just about anybody. He's so quick with the ball. He can get around a block. He can get around a pick so quickly. When you need instant offense, although he's not, he's still raw in some ways offensively, he can get you points. He can get to the line as well as just about anybody. And as long as those skills continue to improve, I think, in games that we need him to show up, when our original game plan may not work out as well as we had planned for it to, I think we can rely on Oladipo to be that instant spark plug on offense, not just, on defense where we're normally going to see it from him.
Yeah, I thought he did. I talked after the show on Friday night. I was, talking about, some of the three-pointers he had taken. I guess it wasn't Friday night, it was Thursday night, but, some of the three-pointers he had taken. He only took one tonight. I think he took the brunt of my shot selection questions for this evening for IU. But Oladipo ended up 6 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 4 from the line, 7 rebounds, no turnovers, and 3 fouls, which means he just committed one in the second half. So 15 points overall for him in a really strong all-around game, and definitely a guy that will be needed to play well tomorrow night. Really regardless of the opponent, particularly if it ends up being UCLA, where, he might end up guarding Shabazz Muhammad and things like that. So definitely will be interesting to see how he responds to that. But I did, I thought he played a big game. But I'm not sure that anybody played a bigger game, particularly during one key stretch in the second half than Jordan Holes. He ended up hitting 4 threes on the night, 14 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. A guy who, when I wrote up the preview, didn't realize quite how consistent he had been. He'd hit at least, he had 3 threes in every game coming into tonight. He had 4 or 5 assists in every game. And no turnovers again for him. Again, if I can believe the ESPN box score here. So, no turnovers for him, no fouls in the second half. Really just made, a few great plays right in a row. I joked on Twitter that it was because he'd made a couple shot fakes. He later hit a shot. He then went down, drew a charge, hit another three. The spin move was soon to follow, and he really, for a stretch, really just took the game over. So I thought he was huge. I guess give me your thoughts on Holes and how important he was tonight.
Yeah, it's hard to describe how important he was. You see the senior leadership coming out. He's been playing with such intensity. Being at the previous three games for IU at Assembly Hall. He's always going 100%. He knows that, if he doesn't play well, he can be benched now with the depth that IU has and, Young Farrell and everybody. It's great to see him come out. We know that he's going to shoot three-pointers, and we know he's going to, shoot, 40 to 50% from beyond the arc. And it's great to see him doing it in such an important stretch. This is a college basketball team. This is not an NBA offense. Sometimes you need the guys that, struggle on defense a little bit, but can just, shoot threes at will. That's what Jordan Holes is. He can do that. As you saw tonight, he can create his own shot once in a while, other ways, but, you know, he can knock down the big three, you know, with just about anybody else. You know, as long as he continues to play formidable defense, dish out some assists, get the ball to Cody Zeller sometimes, which, you know, you've seen improvements in all of those areas, you know, from previous seasons, then, you know, there's no reason for him to stop playing major minutes. You know, a lot of people talk about how much of a defensive liability he is, but, you know, he's definitely improved. He's not great. And, you know, as long as, you know, as long as he is able to come up clutch like he did tonight, you know, he's going to keep seeing big minutes, and he's going to keep being, you know, pretty much the senior leader for IU. I mean, you know, right up there, obviously, with Wofford and the other guys. But, I mean, you know, you can't forget about how big holes is to the Indiana program coming from Bloomington, you know, being really the only guy a couple years ago. You know, it was great for him to see him be able to do this on national TV in a game where his team really needed him.
Yeah, I was just looking back through the play-by-play here, and if I'm doing this correctly, albeit quickly, at one point it was 42-40 with about 10 minutes left in the second half, and from there, Holes scored or assisted on 18 of the next 20 points for IU. So I would say a fairly big stretch, you know, for him, and you know, just kind of speaks to how important he was, really, because he, you know, he hit a few threes there. I think he scored, you know, maybe 11 or 12 of those points, but he, you know, he had some nice assists to Wofford and to Oladipo on that stretch.
Yeah.
So I think he was
Eddie, you're breaking up a little bit. I'll have to call right back in.
All right, we'll try to get this fixed here.
All right, I think I'm back. All right. I'm hoping this is a little bit better. I need to fill out the quality of my Skype call here because apparently it wasn't very good. So I'll take care of that after the show. But I'm back in again and on my cell phone, and hopefully that's better. So apologies for the brief interlude there, but we'll get this all figured out. So I think we're back. I'm posting comments like crazy in chat here, and I think we're back and ready to go. So I'll hop back in here. See if I can get Zach on. I'm assuming this is him. And we'll give this a shot here. Hey, Zach, is that you again? Or do I have somebody else on the line? Hello? Hello, is somebody there? Zach, you back?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I think it was me. I don't think it was you. All right, this is making for a real good show. All right, so we're back at it. We're extolling the virtues of Jordy Holes there, and so you know, now we'll kind of move on to bigger and better things here in the remainder of the show. I'll probably go a little bit longer here with another show tomorrow night. You know, I think everybody will be back, and I won't be forced to try to keep things together with duct tape and glue here, but we're making our way. So, so I guess just kind of a lineup type question. You know, one of the things that we talked about quite a bit after you know, after the game on Thursday was how things might shake out with Wofford. You know, with Wofford benched against Sam Houston State, came back, played really well off the bench, and we were all a little curious to see how that might play out this evening. You know, he was back in the starting lineup again, and I think kind of came out, I guess, a little bit blah again, if you want to say it that way, and didn't really get off to a great start. He played pretty well toward the end of the first half, scored 7 points over the last 7 minutes or so, and so I thought played relatively well there, but came out benched again to start the second half. I guess what were your impressions of how he responded? He obviously responded very well in the moment the other night, but any thoughts on how he responded in tonight's game? Because I don't think we all saw the same fire that he came in with on Thursday.
Yeah, well, obviously the issue with Watford throughout his entire time at IU, has been that he, plays down to the opponent. I'm not really sure if that's the case right now, but, you said he looked blah. I think lethargic is a pretty way to put it, pretty good way to put it. He definitely didn't look great. He threw up some real bad shots. It's hard to argue that. He hit some big shots, like you said, down the stretch in the first half, and then again when IU went on a run in the second half, he didn't look great. I Tom Crean will have the option of benching him in favor for someone like Will Sheehy. It's unfortunate in Watford's senior season, but if he's really going to need a kick in the behind, every week to get it going, then that's what it's going to take. Then, Crean's just going to have to do it. Obviously, still a very talented scorer, but nonetheless, we're going to need to see something from him a little more consistent before, he can continue to start and, play the biggest minutes on the team.
Yeah, I definitely, I was advocating continuing to bring him off the bench with the thought that maybe he was a guy who just would respond well to that situation, and it wasn't a luxury that IU had had, earlier in his career, but maybe he's a guy who needs to watch a little bit of the game, kind of get a feel for it, and then come in. Now we've kind of got another data point to look at how he played and kind of see, how he reacted, and, we'll go from there, but I'll be interested to see what happens tomorrow night, because seeing him benched again to start the second half was interesting. And again, he played fairly well, down the stretch in the second half, scoring 7 points again there. So overall had a decent game, but played his better basketball toward the latter end of each half. So I think we have a caller here. So I've already screwed up enough stuff, so why not try to bring somebody else on now and see what could go wrong? So I got a call here from the 317 area code. I'll try to put you on the air here, and then we'll see what happens. All right,
hey, guys, how's it going? It's Nick.
Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Not much. Just actually headed home from work, watched the game at the office. So
there you go. That's not a bad day at the office. You usually can't say that, so it could be worse, right?
Yeah, I had to fill out an expense report, so I just sat there and watched the game while I was doing that. I kind of agree with Watford. I mean, it's just so disappointing because we know what he can be, and he's just not there. And, with this team, I guess the good thing about this team is that you can have two of your best players that they were talking about, NBA hopes at the beginning of the year play awful and still pull away from a decent SEC team at the end. So I guess that's the silver lining in this. But, just disappointing to see him struggle and Cody to have the night he did.
Yeah, it was, I guess maybe we talked a little bit about Cody, and that's what I was going to talk about next. So while we got you on the line, maybe we'll get your thoughts. But, what do you look for from him coming back from this? So he only took four shots, and I think they said that was, I think Chattanooga last year was a game where he only took four shots. I think that was one of the only games last year where he didn't score in double figures, if I'm remembering that correctly. We talked a little bit about him earlier. Anything that you kind of saw or that you would point to explain tonight's performance?
A couple of people are saying he still might be sick or something, because I know Crean had said that the past couple of weeks. He just looked just kind of out of place and a half step behind. And I guess it's really kind of unfortunate since this was his first, national, even though it was ESPNU, but still, a national audience being able to watch the game. I know there's a couple of writers from USA Today and stuff at the game. I guess personally it's disappointing to the first impression everyone got of the, nearly consensus All-American was that type of performance. And, he's still a sophomore, so I guess he's just got to learn to fight through that and play through those nights. Hopefully he responds well, because he'll have a test with Shabazz coming after him tomorrow.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, no shortage of big guys on UCLA, although, you know, they've got Josh Smith, who's huge in the middle, assuming they win. I think that's not a great matchup for UCLA from the standpoint of how IU likes to try to get out and run. But, you know, so I think it definitely will be interesting to see him respond. I think he's a guy who, you know, you don't worry about too much in that regard. Just kind of had an off night, looked uncomfortable. I think he's one that will, you know, bounce back pretty well there. But, you know, definitely at least some cause for concern, particularly if it is the illness, because that's kind of lingered on for a little over a week now, because I think it was last Monday when he played really well against North Dakota State that there was talk that he was sick then. So not sure if that's still lingering or what that is there, but I guess we'll see how he bounces back tomorrow night. So, Nick, anything else that stood out to you from the game tonight, or any kind of thoughts looking ahead to potential opponents tomorrow?
You know, I just hope that that we you know, slow was I think all but one of the games we've had, we came out slow, and I hope, you know, we're really playing a legitimate team with Shabazz and the rest of those guys at UCLA. You know, they're also young, but, you know, we can't afford to come out slow or you know, it won't be the caliber of team where we can just slowly, methodically come back and beat them. So hopefully we come out quick and Crean really takes it to him in the locker room tonight. Hopefully with Bobby Knight on the sideline tonight, he gets a little Bobby Knight-esque speech to him before they go to bed.
Yeah, perhaps. If nothing else, they'll be working on their shot fakes in practice, so they'll have that going for them. All right, Nick. Well, we appreciate you calling in. I think we're going to probably wrap up the show here fairly soon, and hopefully we'll have you back on tomorrow night, and hopefully after another IU win.
Hey, sounds good. I'll hang on and listen to them in the car. But thanks.
All right, cool, man. I'll put you back on mute. And let's hope that tomorrow night you're not still watching the game at work, because that would be the sign of not a very good day for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, that would be true.
All right, so Nick, I mean, let's kind of touch on a couple other quick things here, and then we'll wrap things up for tonight. But you know, so I guess I kind of leave this a little bit. Let's talk about Yogi real quick. I know he's a guy that everybody's really watched quite a bit coming into the season. I think has been a little bit up and down, as you probably expect a freshman would. And you know, Holes really stole a lot of the headlines tonight. In the backcourt, you look at Yogi's stat line. He was 1 for 4. He had 4 points. Just 1 turnover, 5 assists. Anything you continue to see from him so far? I felt like a couple of times he was just almost trying to make the spectacular play instead of the easy play at times. And sometimes those look great, and those are going to work for him, and he's a guy that can make those kinds of plays. But I thought that, you know, at various points it just looked like he was forcing things a little too much. I guess what was your take on his play tonight?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he tried to do a little too much. He has tried to do a little too much throughout most of the season since that first game when he really looked great. And you know, he'll obviously learn. You know, somebody as talented as him always does. You know, he's going to have to start to let the offense come to him. He's going to have to start to you know, sometimes he likes to just sprint down the floor as fast as he can. He needs to let the offense come to him sometimes. He needs to let things develop in front of him instead of, you know, getting in front way too far ahead of the offense, trying to get behind the defense time after time. It's not always going to work, you know, because sometimes he gets down there and there's some creases, there's some openings, but there's just nothing to materialize and, you know, no real play to pan out. And he kind of just needs to slow down a little bit, as fun as it is to watch him, you know, hopping around, sprinting down the floor every time. You know, he can just, you know, I think he just needs to relax. You know, there'll be the days, there'll be the games where he, you know, has to go all out, you know, sprinting all over the place, playing you know, a full court press on defense and, you know, really pushing it down the floor on offense. But, you know, sometimes in games like tonight where, you know, there really wasn't a good established, you know, set tempo, he kind of just needs to relax a little bit, let things come to him, make simple passes, you know, simple entry passes into the post to Zeller and Watford instead of, you know, trying to make the spectacular play like he did on the, you know, reverse alley-oop layup to Sheehy, you know, I think towards the middle of the game, if I'm not mistaken. You know, just so overall, try not to do too much, like you said, as simple as it is, as cliche as it is. Kind of just relax, slow down a little bit. If he just lets things come to him, I think, and the IU offense can get fed a little bit more when he has the ball, then he'll be fine, because him being on the floor, I think, has benefited Holes. I think, they've played decently well together, and I'm not worried about Yogi as long as he slows down and, lets things materialize on their own, not trying to make everything happen by himself.
Yeah, and I think the good thing about just the overall situation for him is that he doesn't have to, while there's certainly pressure on him and, he feels compelled to make plays and be the guy, I think with Holes around, that doesn't have to be the case. I think you see in a game like tonight where he, is struggling a little bit, he can yield to a guy like Jordy and just kind of sit back and let him, run things and play really well. So I think that helps. Obviously he's going to be a big part of how far this team eventually gets, but, for now, while he's still in that learning process, I think for him to be able to play alongside of and learn from a guy like Holes is going to continue to be important, because Holes is a guy who, he doesn't have, quite the same speed and flash and all those kinds of things, but he does, plays under control, plays within himself. I think, there's something to be learned there. So I just want to talk about the bench a little bit tonight. Obviously, a little bit shorter rotation than what we've seen in some of the other games. We talked Hollowell a little bit. The other two guys that got major minutes were Will Sheehy and Remy Abel. Abel came in and really was huge in the first half, scored 6 points in a pretty quick stretch, ended up with 8 points and 4 rebounds. And I was actually surprised he didn't play a little bit more in the second half, but got whacked in the wrist pretty hard after that play, and he's already got that wrap on there. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but he was back to his perfect shooting ways tonight. He was 2-for-2 from the field and 4-for-4 from the line. And then Sheehy, on the opposite side, I alluded to it earlier, 0-for-4 from three-point range, 0-for-2 from the free throw line, did have 3 rebounds, and I thought played some decent defense, but ended up with just 2 points in 26 minutes. I'm not worried about the scoring, and I'm not necessarily worried that he misses shots. I do question with him, though, the three-pointers. I'm okay with, I've said that about Oladipo, and now I'm, kind of on it with him, but it's just, those guys can make those shots, absolutely. We've all seen them make those shots. But that's not the strength of their game, and particularly on a night when those shots weren't falling for anybody on the team for a pretty lengthy stretch. It was a little frustrating for me to see him, continue to take those. And it isn't necessarily even that he wasn't open. I think it was just a case of really kind of knowing, kind of not trying to make the spectacular play. I thought a couple of the threes came in stretches where he shot it just because he was trying to blow the game open or make a big play and get the crowd fired up, when maybe that wasn't what he needed to do. But I guess maybe contrast what you saw from those guys to one another or anything that you observed from them coming off the bench.
Yeah, well, first with Sheehy, I agree with you to a certain extent and disagree a little bit. If there's one thing I've noticed from watching, IU's warm-ups and shoot-arounds before all their games, prior to tonight this season, it's that Will Sheehy, the most improved thing on the entire IU team, I think, has to be Will Sheehy's shot. You didn't see it tonight, but his pull-up shot, his deep shot, the kid in warm-ups does not miss. And I know you can only, measure that to a certain extent. You have to translate it to the game. I'm a lot better on the driving range than I am on the course. But nonetheless, the kid can shoot the ball. I'm usually not too upset when he shoots the ball, not as much as other people are. I know other people really criticize his shot selection. But as long as he continues to make a good portion of, the pull-up, mid-rangers in transition, which I know irritate a lot of people, as long as he continues to shoot a decent percentage from beyond the arc, I'm okay with it. He didn't have it tonight. I'm not going to argue that. But I would bet that he'd have it back tomorrow, man. I think the kid is that talented of a scorer. I'm not worried about it. At least a couple of the three-pointers he missed were completely wide open, even if it was early in the shot clock and whatnot and in transition. I'm okay with Will Sheehy taking wide open shots, and maybe if he hasn't made a lot of them throughout the game and then later in that given game, he starts to pass up those shots, drive to the rim or dish it out to somebody else, you know, then that's one thing. But overall, I'm okay with him taking shots. I think he's just about as purely talented as anybody is on the offensive end on IU's team. And I might be, just a little bit higher on him than other people are. But I think, he was a little off tonight. That's okay. I had my bold prediction that he would be in the top 10 in free throw percentage in the nation, and I think since then he's missed a few, unfortunately. But nonetheless, I'm not too worried about him. See, he is the kind of guy where, he kind of gets a little too high on himself at some points, but, at other times, you realize that he might kind of need, that confidence and that swagger about him. I mean, that's just the kind of player he is. And with Remy Abel, kind of in contrast to Wilson, he was on tonight. He's been on all season. I mean, this kid's good. I mean, people really haven't talked about him much, until this season when he's been lighting it up from the field. The kid can play defense as well as anybody, as well as Victor. And if he keeps shooting a high percentage and taking, the really smart shots from the field, both from behind the arc, the mid-rangers and whatever else he's going to take, he'll continue to get big minutes, and I look forward to seeing that. The guy, one thing I noticed about him last season is how much of a ball hawk he is, him and Sheehy actually. No matter who else is on the court, no matter how they're playing any given night, they are always around the ball. They're always, altering rebounds. They're always doing their best to alter shots, playing tough, scrappy defense, giving the team energy. And particularly with Remy, on how efficient he's been. I think, was he missed one field goal on the season?
I think that's right.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I don't think his defense will ever really slip up too much. As big and strong of a guy he is, he's shown that he's competent with the ball in his hand, orchestrating an offense, at least to a certain extent, when Yogi's on the bench. I think Tom Crean's confidence in Remy is only continuing to grow, and I think he is going to be a huge asset to this team going forward. People haven't even discussed his role on the team, next year and the year after that. But, with how much he's improved in just a little over a season, when he was a little-known recruit that came in from Louisville, if I'm not mistaken, it's been tremendous. And I think he's only going to improve, keep improving. I think he'll, improve within the season this year. And, he's going to play major minutes. He's going to battle Sheehy to be that sixth man the first man off the bench. And having an asset like that, somebody who can really defend anybody on the floor, outside of the big men, is such an asset and, something that, you really can't take lightly. And he's going to be just as valuable as a lot of other people on the team that we talk about a lot more.
Yeah, he's another guy, and I think I mentioned this on at least one of the last couple shows, was that, I think he's quickly, for me, falling into that Sheehy and Oladipo type category of a guy who, wasn't necessarily highly rated by a lot of the, scouting services and things like that, but definitely a guy who, Kareem and the staff did a really good job of picking out based on, different skills that he has and really has translated well and, grown a lot in the program already in just over a year. So definitely was impressed with him. And as far as Sheehy goes, I would be much more excited about him taking those mid-range jumpers that you mentioned, because I do think that's a, real sweet spot for him and a skill that he has that not a lot of other guys have. I feel like I'm like lapsing into Bob Knight here about the lost art of the mid-range jumper and that now he needs to, use the shot fake more and things like that. Although, in all seriousness with him, I felt like that was something that he could have done there because that's a real strength of what he can do. So, obviously not giving up on him by any means. And there will be games this year that will be won because of his contributions either off the bench or in the starting lineup. So I think he'll turn it around. I could just do without the three. So, all right, with that, I think we're going to wrap things up tonight. Another game tomorrow night, so we'll be back to talk about that one as well. But, Zach, I want to thank you for joining me tonight, keeping me company so I'm not talking to myself. And any final thoughts you have on the game tonight or looking ahead to tomorrow night's game, which I believe tips around 10 o'clock with the winner of the UCLA-Georgetown game that's going on right now. I think Georgetown's out to an early 5-2 lead based on what I can see here. So a lot of way to go on that one. But any final thoughts for me?
Yeah, I tend to be more of an optimistic fan than a lot of people. when it's all said and done with this game, as tough as it was to watch, you know, about 75-80% of the game, when it's all said and done, I saw a lot of people saying it on Twitter immediately after the final whistle. Cody Zeller did not show up tonight. The team won by double digits. You know, when it was all said and done, it was an easy win. There wasn't any pressure within, you know, the last 5 minutes or so. That's something great to see. You know, you imagine if Cody Zeller did show up tonight, if he wasn't, you know, battling an illness, or if he just wasn't, you know, a little bit out of it mentally, whatever it was, and, you know, if he added, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 more points on offense, you know, if he didn't get in foul trouble and missed the last 9 minutes of the first half, you know, the game, you know, might have been even that much easier. As bad as, you know, the team was executing for most of the game. So when it's all said and done, as tough as it was to swallow for most of the game, what was going down, you know, it was good to see that on clearly an off night all around for most of the team, that they were able to get the W. You know, they'll take momentum into the next game against UCLA or Georgetown, and you know, you know Tom Crean will definitely have them ready.
Yep, and for my final thoughts, you know, I echo really a lot of what you said. I mean, there will be games throughout the season when this team doesn't play its best basketball, and sometimes it's just finding ways to make your way through those games and find a way to win, and I thought that's what happened tonight. You know, really did not play well at all in the first half, got to the line enough to keep things close, and kind of held Georgia close enough until some of the threes started to fall, and then really took control of the game down the stretch with a, you know, with a late run there over the last 10 minutes, you know, built a, you know, a lead that got up close to 20 points at one time. So, you know, definitely a case where you're going to have those nights. I think, again, it was a showcase for some of the depth on the team, and at least, you know, the fact that so many different guys can be the MVP of the game on a given night. We've seen, you know, different players step up throughout the season already. You had a lot of guys step in and pick up the slack for Cody when he wasn't playing well. And I think to a certain extent, it also, you know, for as much as we kind of said, hey, maybe it doesn't matter that we don't have, you know, Elston and Perea and Jerkin. You know, it does matter. I mean, those guys would have been useful tonight against a team that had a lot of big bodies inside. But, again, was impressed with the way the team kind of fought through it. And, you know, particularly so with Hulls, who really picked things up again. You know, at one point scored or assisted on 18 out of 20 points to really expand the lead. I think that says just about everything, and another good game for him coming off of breaking into the 1,000-point club for IU. So tomorrow night, again, we'll be back. Looks like the tip time is about 10 o'clock Eastern time against the winner of UCLA and Georgetown. No matter who wins, that one will be the best team that IU's faced this season, so it'll be another good test for the Hoosiers. And we'll be back again tomorrow night with another post-game show on Assembly Call, and we appreciate those of you joining in the chat and on the phone and on the internet, and we will be back again tomorrow night, and I'll take us out with the fight song, because what better way to celebrate another IU victory. So Zach, thanks again for coming on, and we'll be back again tomorrow night.
Yep.